it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
These are talking absolute rubbish.
Absolute rubbish.
As long as I say we can persuade Willie to stay in Ireland, we'll stay in England.
GSI, get stuck in.
And here's a new steeplechasing star. It's Gallop Andersson, who gallops to glory in the Gold Cup.
That's probably the most ridiculous question
I've
ever been asked.
It is, I know, but I had to ask you.
No, you didn't have to ask me.
You're calling out prices. Bookmakers' prices on this channel, right? Yep. You couldn't have two bananas to a banana with the bookmakers.
Something like a bag of hammers.
The racing is under such scrutiny.
If you don't like racing, go and watch Peppa Pig.
Thanks for joining us on the Final Furlong podcast and our latest installment of the Owners and Trainers Bar. We are joined by one of the most talented trainers in Ireland, but also one of the biggest characters and personalities in the game. Shark Hanlon, welcome to the Final Furlong podcast.
Hello, how are you all going? Good?
In good form. I find it very hard to believe, though, that it's almost a year since you and I were on the stage together for the Castle Cumber Welly race, which most people watching this, Castle Cumber Welly race?
What have it to do with the Castle Cumber Welly race?
What the hell is a Welly race?
I'll explain it very quick. A good session.
Well, it was one hell of a session for you, for sure.
Not like it.
Thousands of people show up New Year's Day in Castlecomer. It's great fun. There's a big parade where people build floats and they march through the streets, all celebrating various different things that have gone on that year. But the amount of people who turned up in horse racing themed floats, parades, outfits, like literally a group of women who I think ended up winning it, as in the, who had the best float, all dressed up in Hewick's colours. With Hewick and people pretending to be Rachel Blackmore. It was absolutely magic. If you're looking for a way to promote the sport of horse racing, the best thing to do is to just focus on the personalities and the equine talent, because there were thousands there that day and everyone had a great time.
Yeah, no, there was a big crowd there, so there were. And in fairness, they were all very good. They all knew a bit about race. And we had a great day. Fabulous day, so and a better night.
Absolutely. That was a late night. It was a lot of fun, though. A lot of fun indeed. The reason you were the guest of honor, of course, is the massive success you had with Hewick. And since then, he was running really a massive race in the Gold Cup. Who knows where he would have finished when he tumbled. He's then gone to Sandown and gone for the Grade 2 that day and tore the place apart under Rachel Blackmore. That was a really good performance. And the last time we saw him was under a big weight, a welter burden, under the British champion jockey Brian Hughes, trying to go back-to-back in the Galway Plate. And I watched that back this morning. He actually runs a massive race up until about the third last and then probably tired for lack of a recent run.
The ground. I think the ground was too soft. The ground, he needs a bit of nice ground, and Galway just came soft this year and it didn't suit us.
So what did Brian tell you about that performance and what did you make of it overall yourself?
Brian was very happy. He just said that he didn't get out of the ground, carried a heavy weight. If the ground was good, you can carry heavy weight on good ground, but you can't carry heavy weight on soft ground. So that's all that, listen, that's what beat him. And he had a long season. So from that day until now, we let him off and brought him back in there about 8 or 9 weeks ago, and we're ready to roll again.
So this isn't a fluke. you know, he's won the Bet365 Gold Cup. He's won the Galway Plate. He really should have won the Kerry National, if we're being completely honest about it. But never mind. Makes up for it in spectacular fashion in America. And then he's running that blinding race in the Gold Cup as well. He's got a serious chance of at least making the frame in the King George. And with, look, you've got Gordon on the run. Gordon has decided, I don't think Jerry Kalam's going to go now that Hewick's gone. Maybe it has something to do with Alaho turning up as well. But perhaps. That's just rumours, though. By the way, he might still rock up for the race. But there's big question marks about Shishkin, big question marks about the defending champion Brave Man's Game. And then you look at your fella, loves the ground, loves the trip, has got good speed figures, would be ahead of quite a few of his rivals on time form ratings. You must be very excited.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time, so it is. It's his first run back of the season for me. And the reason I had him back earlier was because America is on again next year and will probably end up in America next year at some stage. And I wanted to give him a nice break. He got a nice break and he's back. And listen, I know King George is a big, big, big thing, but like all the horses are running are meeting little loopholes along the way. So we didn't get to meet a loophole yet because we didn't run them.
Yeah, true. So as they're all falling by the wayside, or at least have questions to answer, there's Hewick sitting in his box just watching all this unfold and going, I'd take them. I'd have taken that race, no problem.
We had him away last week back up to Nace there, and he went over 2 mile, and I came home, I was very happy. So please God, it keeps in good form, keeps healthy, and we'll be afraid we'll be getting no Christmas dinner. We'll be across the water.
Yeah, so you were saying this to me beforehand, and this kind of gets lost in the fog of we're all very excited for the King George and for the Savills Chase, and indeed the Leopardstown Christmas Festival. You can win tickets to the Leopardstown Christmas Festival on the Final Furlong podcast right now. Check out the tweet machine. You'll find out how to enter. But you're having to go over Christmas Eve morning, so Christmas Day is going to be spent near enough to Kempton.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas. You see, there's no boats on Christmas Day. So Christmas morning, the last boat goes out of Rosslare at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we'll be on the boat. We'll be leaving here probably at 6 o'clock to be down in Rosslare. And myself, Rachel, and the two boys, I'll head across, so we'll. So well, I'm afraid we might get a bit of Christmas dinner maybe on Friday before we go.
How do you feel about that, about spending Christmas away from home? You will, at least you'll be with the family, but still, you're not where you want to be.
No, listen, my parents are getting that little bit older now too, and you never know when they're here or when they're not, and you'd like to spend as much time as you can with them. But listen, they're excited for the horse going over as well, and all the family is excited for the horse going over, so we have no choice on the take off and go, and that's it.
Was Kempton always more appealing to you than going for a Savills at Leopardstown?
I think the ground in Kempton would be better. Usually the ground in Kempton do be good, and for our horse, good ground makes an awful difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just going through his form, you've basically kept him away from soft ground. In fact, the only time recently you didn't was when you brought him over to France, when he took on the French superstar Delhem, or whichever the pronunciation is, Shark.
Yeah.
But that was on soft ground, back over hurdles. There were a lot of things against him that day. And while he was beaten 14 and a half lengths, he still ran a blinder. He was fourth.
He ran a cracker, picked up a lot of money again, but he just didn't handle the ground over there. They said before we went over, the ground was going to be good, but it was heavy. So that finished our chance. But he ran a cracker again, so he ran very well.
The French getting the going wrong? Never. They did say the going description was going to be soft ground, potentially soft to heavy for ARC weekend. And then John Gosden was saying on ARC Day on Sky Sports Racing, that's closer to good to firm ground. So they're French. Yeah.
Well, the toll does go over that the ground, oh, it'll have to be good. It'll be good ground. And we walked the track that morning and I said, it's soft to heavy. That's what I called it.
Jeez.
And when Jackie came in after, I said, yeah, it's good and soft. So that means soft to heavy.
Sacre bleu. Given the fact that you were there and you got to see that horse strutty stuff, what did you make of him? Because there's big talk that he's going to be aimed at the Stairs Hurdle this season.
Yeah, listen, he's a gorgeous horse. And if you had him or I had him, you'd be going for a Stairs Hurdle.
Okay. I might need to revise my opinion of him. My negative opinion of him isn't against the horse. It's against who's going to ride him. I imagine it's going to be a French jockey, and I don't trust French jockeys around Cheltenham. I just don't. Unless they've got Siri in the sat nav telling them, turn left now, make your winning move now.
And they're not that bad now. Hold on.
Oh, they're not great. In 200 metres.
Give
them
a chance.
Edge out. Put your horse in contention.
They do have some good days.
Yeah, they do. But one too many Jacques Ricous for my liking. And that ride from the French jockey on Gold Tweet on the stairs. Jesus.
Yeah, I agree. They might just change their mind and get an English jockey or an Irish jockey and give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I imagine they will, but we'll see. You're having to jock off the guy who's been riding him in France all that time, so we'll see how that plays out. Speaking of riders, Rachel Blackmore and Brian Hughes have ridden Hewick recently. The Irish boys aren't really going to know where they're going. Rachel obviously is going to be needed in Ireland. I'm imagining she will be anyway. We don't know if Paul Townend is going over to ride Alaho or not. I'm sure Danny Mullins would be eagerly waiting, because it's either Fasal Vega he picks up or he gets Alaho, one or the other. But who's in contention to ride Hewick? Any calls made yet?
I made a few calls today, and you see, no one knows where they're going. That's the problem. Do you know, I could lay them off a little race in Blackmore, of course. Brian Hughes, they're all in contented. Sean Bowen. But we don't know where anyone is going yet, so we can't say. I'd say this time tomorrow evening I'll know, because they're all getting back to me. And I'd like to know where we're going or what we're doing. We know where we're going, but we don't know what jockey we have yet. So there's no point in saying that I do. I don't.
He's not a complicated ride, though. It's not like he needs a specific type of rider to get the best out of him.
No, he's a very good rider. The horse is a very good ride, but he comes off the bridle. I remember Rachel saying to me when he won Bet365, she thought he was beaten. The next thing she said, he just came back under like a new horse. And I was off to warn her before she got up on him. I said, this lad now will come off the bridle and hopefully he'll come back under you again. And he came off the bridle, turned in. And she said, oh God, I'm going to get well beaten. The next thing she said, she was back flying again. So, and that's what he does.
And that's kind of what he was doing in the Gold Cup as well. He was just about to get his second wind.
Yeah, Jordan Gainford now, in fairness, in the Gold Cup, he was in bits when he came back in, because he said that he was after coming back on off the bridle, but he was after coming back on the bridle, and he said that he would have stayed the whole way up the hill. And when we're talking about Jordan Gainford, hopefully, he has an injury, but he always knows that this horse is his ride. So please God, whenever he gets back, he'll be back on board again, and hopefully wishing him the best of luck.
Yeah, he's been very unlucky with injuries. It kind of traces back to the Riviere d'Etel fall at the festival. It's just...
Yeah, he's after getting an awful fall, so it is. And listen, he's a lovely chap. He's only a kid, but he's a lovely chap. And hopefully that everything turns out for him.
Yeah, I was actually watching back, because I'm going through the King George, obviously with a fine tooth comb. And I was watching back Jerry Calonne. It's one of life's great mysteries. How did Jerry Calonne get beaten by the real whacker? The more I watched that race back, who built the pyramids? Did we really go to the moon? And how did Jerry Calonne get beaten by the real whacker? It's one of the mysteries that scholars will debate for generations to come. But watching the race back,
if you talk to Paddy Merrigan, he'll tell you.
What did Paddy Merrigan say?
Paddy says the real whacker was a certainty. Didn't make any difference.
Well, I'm starting to think, actually, that the real whacker is a horse I've just badly underestimated. Like, really badly underestimated. And I think a lot of us have.
He's a good horse. He's a good horse, so he is. And I know he had a run there the other day. Wasn't good, but listen, I'd say he wasn't trained for the other day. He'd be trained for bigger things.
Yeah, and to be fair, long run came back in the Paddy Power Gold Cup for Nicky Henderson, won the King George in his next start after finishing third. So pulling up is not the end of the world at all there.
Not the end of the world, no. And Paddy knows his horse well and is well able to train him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he had a winner the other day too. It's his first winner of the season, so... boost to the stable form. But I think when it's a small trainer like that, stable form doesn't really... I remember Phil Bull, before my time, but reading and racing back in the day, Phil Bull used to subscribe to the notion that there is no such thing as stable form. It's all just a distraction. It's nonsense. Now,
every heart is different.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely arguments that can be made that stable form is very much a thing, but there's also very much arguments that can be made that it doesn't really amount for a whole lot. Overall, what are you hoping for from Hewick in the King George?
I think he'll be in the first three. And if the ground ends up on the good side, he won't be far away.
I think you're right. I really think you're right, and I'm not just saying this for the sake of it. Now, I was absolutely convinced that Ella McNeil was going to have a double at the weekend. I thought 300 through 5 looked a good thing, and I thought Thunder Rock was going to bolt up. I was right about Fugitive and Il Rodato, but no good to my bank balance. I didn't back either of them. So my bullishness about you, I'll temper that enthusiasm, but I think he's a crack in each way bet. We know he's going. We know what he's capable of, and we know what he can do again. He's got a massive chance.
And he runs well fresh.
Very much so. Yeah, there's an awful lot to like about him. This is going to be a pretty quick turnaround, but there's a couple of horses that you're going to run in the UK tomorrow, which you kind of alluded to already. Dragon Rock, who Time Form have already tipped, and Pro Form, reckon Mullins Cross is very much the one to beat in the 2:30 at Catterick. So you're going to have a shark handling double before Christmas in the UK.
Please God, now I tell you, Mullins Cross, me own young lad, Rodham, he's only 16. His first ride over hurdles 4 days ago, and he won on him in Bangor, which was brilliant for us. We bred the horse. His father had the standing, which was a full family job, and it was absolutely brilliant. And Dragon's Rock won in Fairy House for Barry O'Neill, won well, and Paddy rides him now tomorrow. So please God, he gets around clear. Listen, he's only 16 years of age, only having his second ride over hurdles. So for my eyes, the first thing we need is a safe round, and after that, everything is a bonus. But listen, he has a chance, yeah, definitely.
How does it feel to be the father who is not just preparing the racehorse, but also you're sending your son out to battle?
Well, I'm at home here, so I am, because just my mother is not very well, and my father is down the room, and I should be over there, but no, I'm at home. And I'm looking forward to sitting back and watching it on telly tomorrow for a change, from a distance. And he knows I can't give out to him when he comes in as well, when I'm so far away.
It's a bonus for Paddy. But he's not gonna get anything wrong. He's gonna sail to victory.
I hope so. I hope you're right, Bye. I like the way you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking.
Well, the chances.
Brian Hughes rides the other lad, and he has a chance. And in fairness to Brian Hughes, since Paddy went over to England, Brian Hughes has been very, 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 very good to Paddy about the tracks, telling him how to ride them and everything. Like, he's a gentleman. Brian is a gentleman. And if Paddy had a question tomorrow morning, he'd ring Brian and ask him. So, Paddy went over to Charity Post there 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago. And he's had to learn a lot over there, and Charity got his license for him. So, all good.
It is amazing the camaraderie and the bond there is between, I mean, it's not going to be the same for everybody, but the jockeys in the weighing room, how they do take the younger riders under their wing, and how trainers help one another out as well. Because at the end of the day, you're all competing for the same prize money. You're all trying to win the same races. Like, it's war on the race course. But there is a remarkable bond that interconnects the trainers and jockeys off the track, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Like, I see there over the years, like, a lad would get a fall, and next thing, if you were standing outside the weigh room, you'd see three or four jockeys going over to see, was he okay? Which is brilliant. Like, that's... Now, when they go on a horse, they all ride their own race, but the very minute they pass, they try and when they pass the flag, they try and help each other as much as they can.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really is remarkable indeed. Couple of other horses to ask you about before I send you on your way. Rodney, he was beaten in a bumper the other day, beaten way too far for that to be his true form.
Yeah, no, he came home wrong. Wasn't right when he came home, so he's going to get probably 3 weeks off now. I like the horse lots to do, but he just came home very wrong on the rest of the day, so put away.
A couple of horses to mention over the Christmas. I know there's an Ifraj I'm very keen to hear about, but Top Gun Simi, he's going to be on the easy list for a couple of weeks, is he?
He won't be ready for Christmas, but when he comes out in January, you can keep an eye on him. I think he's a very, very good horse. He's a horse that... I give him a bit of time off. At Durkin's in Dublin owned him, and in fact, to run him around. So I think that he'll, at the end of January, he'll be ready to run.
Looking forward to that. And the Ifraj.
Yeah, I have a nice filly there. She'll run in January, the first 4-year-old bumper. I think she's very nice. So she's a very good page. She came out with the Queen's, and the Queen bred her, and I bought her at the sales. blood. I think that she'll...
The royal family are not happy about the fact that you've acquired this horse, so they've hacked the system and tried to ban you from being able to share with us how this regally bred royal horse is going to be going. What's her name?
Oh, no. Now you're asking.
Oh, no. Shark, come on.
Yeah, and I talked to you a minute ago, but I thought of it. I'll think of it in a minute. Oh, Jesus, my head is gone. But she's by Evrad, and she'll run, I think it's the 7th or 14th, the first four-year-old bumper in Ireland.
Okay. This is like talking to Aidan. Aidan sometimes doesn't actually mention the name of the horse. He talks about the dam instead. So, right. If it's good enough for the goat, it's good enough for Shark Anlin. That's okay.
It's gas. I think of what they're by. I'll be out in the yard, I think of what they're by, and I could know what they're after doing. Someone asked me the name of the horse, someone better tell him. It's gas. You know, I never name a horse. Rachel names all the horses here. So our name is Silver Pageant.
Well, hey, we got there. Excellent. All right. Into the time form tracker, Silver Pageant. Back blindly, gamble responsibly, and all that malarkey. I could tell you the 1, 2, 3 from various different Cheltenham Festival races from 2003, 2005. I couldn't tell you what I had for dinner yesterday. It's just the mind.
It's gas, though, it's gas. And I'd be the very same. I'd know exactly, but just take off my head. I just could forget it, you know. But listen, there's great days coming, please God. We have a lovely bunch of 3-year-olds run. There's 15 or 16 3-year-olds there that I really like. So hopefully a couple of good ones will come out of them.
I'm looking forward to seeing these in action. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Hewick in action as well. Shark, I've absolutely thoroughly enjoyed getting your insight into the horses to look out for. Most importantly, Hewick. Whoever's going to ride him is in for a real treat, and they've got a serious chance of at the very least of placing, but potentially causing a massive upset as well. He's done it before, and he can very much do it again.
With a bit of luck. We have to have luck. If you haven't got luck, you have not.
True. Happy Christmas, Shark. Thanks very much for joining us.
Happy Christmas, bye. Thank you.
And thanks for watching. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode of the Final Furlong Podcast. If you did, likes, shares, and subscribes. In fact, if you subscribe to the podcast now, you're automatically entered to win 2 premium tickets worth £94 each for the Leopardstown Christmas Festival. So like, share, and subscribe this episode with the legend Shark Anlin. We'll talk to you again very, very soon on the Final Furlong Podcast. Look after yourself and each other. God bless.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.